I think most of us would at least acknowledge that this past week was a very interesting week. First of all, it's interesting in the fact that right now there is an impeachment process of the President of the United States going on in Washington, D.C. I think it's quite clear that there is a huge divide, a massive divide right now in Congress on this issue. And it's basically over the big, huge issue of leadership. Last week was very interesting for our student body. I don't think I need to go into the details of some of the issues, but I think it was addressed hopefully sufficiently last week. And I've had probably more students come up to me to speak to me privately about last Thursday chapel more than any other chapel service that I've had since I've been here as the president. And then in light of the fact that there are a number of you that are completing your education this week, you're graduating, especially since we made a change in the credit hours that are required for graduation. And I think in light of our theme of learn, love, and lead, as you come here as a student, there are a lot of things that you learn. You learn virtue, you learn knowledge, you learn self-control, you learn perseverance. And hopefully from that you learn to love. You learn to love your brother and sister in Christ. You learn to love others. You learn to love God more. That ultimately with graduation, and hopefully with graduation, you're going to go out into the world and you're going to be a leader. And so with that in mind, I'd like to at least capture those thoughts as this is my last real sermon or message that I'm going to preach this semester. And I really want to go back to, if I could, just to remind you of the core of our mission here at Bob Jones University. And I want to talk to you this morning about the subject of being a leader. Bob Jones University was founded 93 years ago by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. for a reason, and that is he wanted to train Christian leaders for a chaotic world. The future of everything rises and falls on leadership. The future of our country, the future of the church, the future of the workplace, the future of families, the future of schools, everything is based on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Are we trying to train leaders here at Bob Jones University? My answer is yes. What kind of job are we doing? Well, some days I think we're doing okay. Some days I'm not so confident. It all depends. And one of the reasons for that is because leadership demands a price tag. You cannot be a leader if you're not willing to pay a price. You can't become a leader and develop it sitting on a couch. You can't be a leader if you want to follow the crowd. You can't be a leader if you are concerned about what everybody else thinks about you. Leadership comes with a price tag. And everything rises and falls on leadership. And the crying need of the day is whether or not you're going to become a leader. And let me just say this, because I'm looking at a lot of you on your cell phones. I'm assuming you're taking notes. I really am assuming that. That's okay, because I take a lot of notes on my cell phone. But I just want to assume that, because I think today's message is important. What we have to say here in chapel is important. And your listening is important, because you're not going to hear this again. For many of you, you're going to graduate, and it'll be a long, long time before you hear such a concentration of focused preaching and teaching of God's Word. And so I'd like to say it publicly that the need today is leadership. So what is a leader? Well, let me ask you a question. Who is the world's greatest leader? You answer it. Who was it? Obviously, it was Jesus. What then did Jesus come to do as a leader? Why did Jesus come? The Bible says Jesus came into the world for a purpose. And he said it really clear that he was not like other leaders. Do you remember the story of the mother of James and John who came to Jesus and asked if her two boys could sit on either side of Jesus when he rules in his kingdom? What did Jesus say? He made it clear that this was not a decision that was up to him. It was his Father's decision. Well, the other disciples heard about the boy's mama's request, and obviously they got upset. So what did Jesus do? He listened to what she said and listened to his reply. He said, you know this, that the rulers of the Gentiles, the leaders of the Gentiles, lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever will be great among you, whoever's going to be a leader, must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What did Jesus come to do as the world's greatest leader? He came to give his life in service to save those who are lost. So what is a leader? If you could sum it up in one simple statement, a leader is a savior. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to save. He's the world's greatest leader. A leader is a savior. Now, I'm not talking about you saving other people from sins like Jesus did by his death on the cross, but you're coming to save. For example, a leader comes to rescue. A leader comes to deliver. A leader comes to redeem. A leader comes to fix what is broken. Let me ask you a question. How many lives are broken? Then what does a leader do? He comes to fix the things that are broken. A leader comes to solve the problems. How many problems are there in the world today? So what does a leader do? He gives his life. He sacrifices himself to be able to save, to be able to rescue, to be able to redeem, to be able to fix, to be able to solve problems. For example, a shepherd takes care of sheep. What does he do? He feeds them and he leads them. He guides them and he guards them. He protects them. He provides for them. In a sense, a good shepherd is constantly saving his sheep. Our little granddaughter, Sydney, is about 6 months old now. Just this past week, for the first time, she ate what we would call solid food. Now, solid food means chopped up avocados and bananas. First time. She spit it all out. She thought it was the grossest thing that she'd ever had in her mouth. And by the way, it was incredibly cute when she did that. Our daughter Rachel is actually her daughter's savior. You call her mother, but she's really a savior. Where would you be without your mother? She cares for her. She worries about her. She prays for her. She protects her. She provides for her. She gives her life to her daughter. You could say she's a savior. And that's what a leader is. A leader is one who comes into the world and they seek and they save. They solve issues. They rescue people. They solve problems. Think about it. The greatest problem in the world is sin. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. That makes him a leader. He came to fix the problem. He came to reverse the curse. He came to undo what had been done. Adam made a mess and Jesus cleaned it up and fixed the problem. A leader is a problem solver. He fixes broken things. Last week, one of our students, he's a sophomore here, Lucas Darling. Lucas, are you here? Where's Lucas? Lucas, you around? Stand up. Where's Lucas? You can't miss Lucas. There he is, way in the back. There you are. Thank you, dude. He's my hero. Last week, he did something for me that he solved a huge problem. And that is, he was a part of the President's Club, and he works in the audiovisual department. And basically, he fixes problems around here on campus with audiovisual stuff. And so we were sitting there last week eating. We had a special dinner together, and he told me about what some of the things he did. And I said, look, I got a problem. And that is, my flat screen TV in our living room, the sound's not working. Everything else works, but the sound doesn't work. And I'm about as proficient in audiovisual stuff as a kindergartner. I mean, really. And it's really bad. And I pushed buttons and tried it, and nothing happened. So I told Lucas, I said, Lucas, I got a problem. He said, I think I can help you. So last week he came over to my house. Apparently, according to what he said, it was a bit more complicated than he thought it would be. It took him a couple of hours, but when he left, the TV was fixed, the problem was solved, and my wife was deliriously happy. So if I could say publicly, Lucas Darling is my savior. He, at least with regards to my television set, he's my hero. What is a leader? A leader is a savior. He fixes what is broken. He rescues what is lost. He liberates what is enslaved. He heals what is sick. He brings back what is lost. He binds up what is wounded. He comforts what is depressed. He helps those who are helpless. A leader is a savior. So what does it take to be a leader? And of course, you can take whole courses on leadership, but just two really simple and basic things that are foundational to leadership. And those two basic characteristics are, number one, in order to be a leader, you have to believe in something passionately. A leader believes in something passionately. That passionate belief is inside of you. It's in your heart. And you commit yourself externally to something you're going to give yourself to fulfill that burden. We call that a mission, something that fits into your belief or your ideals. The external mission is a reflection of your internal beliefs. For example, when Jesus came into the world, he came on a mission to seek and save the lost. And so he came externally in a mission, and he went to a cross and he died. But we know that the act of the cross was rooted in the heart of his Father. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we know that the cross is a manifestation of the heart, of the love, of the passion of God for you and I. If you ever question that God loves you, look at the cross. That's the demonstration of his love. So what is a leader? A leader is somebody who passionately believes. Let me ask you a question. What are you passionate about? What do you believe in? What are you willing to commit your life to? I believe if you graduate from Bob Jones University, at least in a small form, you should have a passionate desire for you to give your life to something that's going to make a difference. To be, if I could say it this way, a savior. When Bob Jones Sr. started Bob Jones University, he was concerned in the 1920s about the negative influence of the secular and liberal education in the United States of America in the 1920s. Think about that, almost 100 years ago. And so those convictions, those heart burdens led to the founding of this school. A leader has convictions. It leads him or her to be committed to a mission that fits those beliefs or those ideals. When I came to be the president at Bob Jones University, people asked me all the time, what are you going to change about Bob Jones? My response was then, as it is today, that I didn't come to change things. I came to lead things. I believe in the mission. I really do. I believe in the mission of the school. And the longer I'm here, the more I believe in that. Thank you. So I came as a leader to keep us on mission. And anything that doesn't fulfill our mission as effective as possible ought to be changed. Leadership should not be always reacting to problems. It should be proactive. Where does this fit into our mission? Is this a part of what we're accomplishing? Is this what we need to do? What are the principles here? And then make decisions based on those principles. In the United States Army's training manual, they define leadership very clearly. They say that leadership is the process of influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation to accomplish the mission and to improve the organization. What does a leader do? They influence people by providing purpose. They tell them why. Direction, they show them how. Motivated, they get them started to accomplish the mission and improve the organization. What is behind a leader? It is the belief that a mission needs to be accomplished. Something needs to be won. Something has to be fixed. Something has to be gained. Something needs to be built. Someone needs to be helped. This next semester, we are in our Bible conference offering, are trying to raise $150,000. And by the way, that's really beyond what our student body can raise. In other words, it's not like you got $150,000 sitting around to give. And so it's a test of our faith. We're trying to raise enough money Tobias saved the stork's van. Why? Because there's a mission behind it. What is the mission behind it? The mission is pro-life. Out of all the universities in the United States of America, there are others like us, but we want to do something about it. The desire to do something about it, it means we take leadership. As far as I understand, we will be the first university in the United States of America where the student body, not some outside people, but the student body, raise enough money for a Save the Stork van. Why are we doing that? Are we doing that because of me? The answer is no. We're doing it because of you, because you got mad at me. When I came to be the president here, we were taking love offerings. I lived in the world of love offerings, sorry. We were taking offerings during Bible conference to build buildings and renovate buildings, and that was wonderful. And thankfully, many of the things on campus have been done because of Bible conference offerings. And so we thank God for that. But when I came here, I thought, you know what? I think because of the nature of the student body, because we don't have Sunday morning services here, we don't really take offerings that often, I want us to get behind offerings where we can take the money and give it. I mean, $150,000 is a lot of money. But at Bob Jones University, let me be honest with you, it's not much at all. $150,000 doesn't even get us through lunch here at Bob Jones University to run this campus. So in one way, it's not that much money. But on another way, it's like climbing a huge mountain. And so the desire was for us to give. And obviously, we're not giving to get, but there are biblical principles. Given it shall be given unto you. You can't outgive God. Let's give to a mission that we can all get behind. Why? Because we want to fix something. We want to solve something. We want to protect a life that has not yet come into this world. And so it was a mission. And so last year, when we decided to renovate the den over here, man, I had so many students that were mad. And I'm like going, what are you so mad about? And they were saying, you don't care about missions. I went, what? But actually, I am so glad you got mad. I really am. Because I'm glad you were irritated enough to do something to make a difference. What is a leader? A leader is a savior. A leader has a passionate belief about something. And let me say that when someone makes a commitment to a mission, they are also committing themselves to being humble. You say, how can you say that? Because humility is not someone who thinks less of himself. Humility is someone who doesn't think about himself and he thinks about others. Humility says, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about the mission. I tell our vice presidents in our executive office, leave your pride at the door. It's not about you. It's about the mission of Bob Jones University. What is it best for here? Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility is being committed to a mission and putting others around you as more important than yourself. That's what it means to be a leader. You have to believe in something. You have to have convictions about things. And you need to believe in those things passionately. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he said to his own disciples, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. If you study that out, it's very interesting. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. The first word, with desire, is the noun. The second word, I have desired, is the verb. But they're the exact same words in the Greek language. It's the word epithymia. It's the exact same word that's used for lust. It simply means a strong desire. Here's what Jesus said. With strong desire, I have strongly desired to eat this Passover meal with you. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and die. And it was everything within him to take him to be the Savior. But that didn't start in the upper room. It started, as we know, when he was a young boy. At 12 years old, he said he needed to be about his father's business, and he was passionate about it. No one ever accomplished anything great half-heartedly. Lukewarmness is the bane of leadership. Nothing great was ever achieved without somebody doing it passionately. Leaders are passionate. Leaders are burdened. Leaders push through difficulties and they overcome barriers to fulfill their mission. Leaders hate status quo. So what's behind being a leader? It is someone who has commitment, conviction, who has belief, and they believe it passionately. But then secondly, what is behind a leader? And that is you have to be willing to take a risk. Leadership is risky business. It's risky, first of all, because in leadership, there's always the potential of failure. You can't be a coach without losing some games. You can't be a teacher without losing some students. You can't be in a relationship without the possibility of having your heart broken. You can't be a pastor without some of the sheep biting back. I remember when I started in evangelism in 1985, I'd been a youth pastor for 5 years, and I was really nervous whether or not I was going to make it. Would the doors open up? Our first week in evangelism, my wife and family stayed in the home of another couple in a church down in Tennessee. And at the end of the week, and that was a wonderful family, my wife looked at me and she said, "I cannot live in somebody else's house the rest of my life." I said, "Yes, dear." And so I went to an RV dealership in Richmond, Indiana, and I bought a fifth-wheel trailer. I didn't have any money, so I bought it on faith. Put a down payment on, inherited the payments. My wife said, "You climbed out on the limb and cut the tree down." It was a risk. But you know what? You can't lead if you're not willing to take a risk. Better to try and not succeed than not to try at all. Every one of you in college as a student are in a place of leadership because you're in a place of risk. Coming to college is risky business. You know why? Because you got to pay for it. You got to pass. This is not a requirement like high school or elementary school. You can fail here. But if you never put yourself in a position of failure, you never put yourself in a position of graduation. So I commend you for taking the first step in being a leader and coming here. I congratulate you. Those of you that are graduating this week, I congratulate you. We have students here today who are the first members of their family who actually have gone to college. And I commend you for that. Because you have stepped out, you've taken the first step in being a leader, and that is you've taken a risk. There's the risk of failure. There's the risk of rejection. Guaranteed, leadership leads to various forms of rejection. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. When he was about to be crucified, Pilate turned and said, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him." I think of what it's like to be a student leader here on campus, a president of, a chaplain of, an RAN, whatever. You came unto your own, and your own received you not. If you're learning to be a leader, you're learning to take risks, and you might be rejected. But let me just say this, care not about the critic. Listen to me good. Critics are losers. I'm sorry. Critics are double losers. Anybody can criticize, but let them lead. Constructive criticism, helpful. Because as a leader, you have to be humble that you're not getting it right and somebody's got a better idea. So a good leader is a good listener and he listens to constructive criticism. But the people who stand on the sideline and bark, they are people who never accomplish anything because they don't know what it takes to get it done. You have to be willing to accept criticism. And risk number three, and this is one that's often overlooked, and that is there's a risk in making improvements. You see, any organization needs to get better. That's what the Army said. The Army said to accomplish the mission and improve the organization, but to make improvements is risky because it could be taken as if we didn't do it right yesterday. They made a mistake. I bought an iPhone 11 over Thanksgiving. I was not discontent with my iPhone 7 until I saw the iPhone 11. It was definitely an improvement. I didn't look at my iPhone 7 and say, man, what a piece of junk. I just gave it back to him, and I got the new one. Everything can improve. Everything. Did you know that Bob Jones needs to improve? It really does. We can improve processes. We can improve methods. We can improve procedures. We can improve policies. We can improve toilet paper. I mean, there's a lot of things we can improve. I'm not making a promise. I'm just saying. There's only one thing that doesn't need to improve, and that's truth, because truth doesn't change. Everything else can get better. A leader has to be humble. Why? Because you could fail. You could be rejected. And you could be misunderstood by trying to make things better. But I want to say that the world is crying out today for principled leaders. People who have convictions. What do you believe? People are willing to make commitments. What kind of, are you going to be a committed person? People have character. And people have a broken heart and compassion. Because Jesus came into the world with a broken heart of the Father. And because of what he did, we are the benefactors. So let me challenge you to go and be a leader and make a difference. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you love us. And Lord, help us to be leaders that are humble, that believe what we believe with passion, that we're willing to take risks, that we're willing to be rejected as you were rejected, and willing to go out in the world and fulfill your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.